You can turn again your Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24. Turn to the end of that chapter. Matthew 24, we can read again in verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. In considering this passage this evening, there are three very simple points I want to emphasize. And the first is that Jesus will return. This is the clear teaching of all of the Scripture. Jesus Christ will return. This world will not continue as it is. There will be a moment when the Lord doth appear. And we are not told in advance when that is, but we are told that that is. It is sure and it is certain and it is appointed. And even now we hasten toward that. Jesus Christ will return. Now I know that you might perhaps feel unable to explain what will happen at the end. You may feel confused concerning the end of the world and all the Scripture teaches, particularly when you consider the book of Revelation. It's not an easy book to understand. The imagery can be complicated for us. The themes are difficult and overwhelming. And then particularly in Revelation chapter 20, it speaks about a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And historically in the church, there's been different ways of understanding this. There is the view that Jesus will come before this 1,000 years. That's called the pre-millennial view. And the idea is that Jesus will come and will reign upon the earth for that 1,000 years. There is also the view that he will come after this 1,000 years. Perhaps not a literal 1,000 years, but an extended period, a set period, that he will come following this time of great gospel increase. And there is a third view, which is called the amillennial view, which suggests that there is no particular millennium, but that rather this 1,000 years which is spoken of describes the gospel age that now is. And that during this time, there will be periods of gospel increase, there may be periods of gospel decline, but that the purposes of God are fulfilled, and then Christ comes. And in the church, there have been those who've taken the pre-millennial view, the post-millennial view, the amillennial view, who we respect, and who are faithful to the Scriptures. And so maybe that makes it harder. It's not clearly that all those who err take one view. And how then do we explain what will happen? When will Christ come? And then there is a passage we've just read. It's a very difficult passage, isn't it? The disciples come to the Lord and they ask him these questions concerning the end of the world, concerning the coming of the Lord, concerning what will happen to the temple. And as we hear the answer that he gives, we maybe struggle again to put it together and to understand when and how in the sequence of events. But it's important to understand the disciples asked more than one question. And the answer that they're given here covers more than one topic. It speaks about the destruction of the temple. It speaks about the coming of the Lord. But it also speaks about the end of the world. And the answer that is given in some ways intertwined. In part, that's because the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem was a foreshadowing of the greater judgment when the world would conclude. But there's one thing that is abundantly clear. Regardless of whether one takes a pre or a post or an amillennial view, there's one thing that's abundantly clear as we read through this passage, though we may struggle to understand what applies to the temple in Jerusalem and what applies to the end of the world and what speaks about the coming of the Lord. And what's abundantly clear is this: Jesus will return. And so whether you can explain the sequence of events, and so whether you can say when that will be, it's not the issue. What matters is this: that you know and that you understand that Jesus will return. So that knowing this, you prepare so that when he comes, he does not find you unprepared. He doesn't find you in a state of shame, but rather already, diligently, faithfully honoring him. Jesus will return. Remember when the disciples were with him as he ascended up into glory, that they stood there, marveling at what they saw as he rose off the earth and the clouds covered him. He vanished from sight, and the angels who were present said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And in this chapter, it speaks of him coming upon the clouds. It speaks of his appearance being like lightning, which though it flashes in one part of the heavens, is seen in the other part of the heavens. There'll be no doubt, there'll be no uncertainty. You won't need to be told that Christ has come back. For when Christ comes back, all will see and all will know instantaneously. When he ascended up into glory, there were only a few who observed that. There was only a few who were concerned with that. But when he comes, every eye will see, and that means yours. Everyone will hear. Your ears will hear. You will know that Jesus has returned. And you're forewarned of that today. This is not an obscure fact. This is plain. This is simple. And on that day, no one who looks for him will be disappointed. Regardless of their present expectation of the sequence of events, that no one who looks for the coming of the Lord will be disappointed when the Lord comes. Because the Lord will have come. Jesus shall return. And it's important to emphasize that, because although I know that you know that, I also know that it's easy to forget that. Not to forget it absolutely, but it's easy to put it to one side in your mind so that it has no bearing upon how you live your lives. You get so caught up with all the demands of the day. Everything seems so permanent and secure. We see the passing of time. We feel ourselves aging. We see society changing. And yet you see the mountains, and the mountains endure. Your forefathers saw the same mountains. They walked the same shores. But this will all end. This world will not endure. This is not the whole of God's work. But there is that which is to come, and it will be hastened in with the return of our Lord. The whole creation has purpose and has direction. And the return of Jesus Christ will be personal. It will be Jesus Christ who returns, our Lord and our Savior. There will be angels who accompany. The redeemed saints in glory shall be with him. But it will be Jesus Christ who comes. It will be him that we see. It will be him who you must deal with. His return will be personal, but his return will also be powerful. As I said, the ascension, for all the glory and the power and the majesty of the ascension, was not seen nor regarded by many, was not seen nor regarded by most, but his return will be with such power that the dead in the grave will know. Every eye will see. And that's why in Romans 14 it says, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." There's such a crisis in our society's thinking, isn't there? About sustaining this world, preserving this world. This world is the inheritance that your children must receive, and you mustn't spoil it. And there is sense and there is wisdom in that. But only if we remember that this world is not all that there is, and this world is not meant to endure forever as it is. We must take care of the resources that we've been given. We mustn't abuse and spoil, vandalize and pollute. But we're not to be focused upon preserving this world so much as we're to be focused upon preparing for the reality that Jesus Christ shall return. God in his mercy has given gifts unto men so that with science and technology we can overcome many of the problems that we encounter in this broken world. But we cannot prevent the eventual decline and the destruction of this world. So the rivers flow into the sea and the sea is not filled, and yet each day the rivers, they wear down the mountains. And the resources of this earth are used up. But it will not be just a gradual natural decline. But what we're told is it will be a supernatural event, because the Lord shall appear from glory. His return is demanded by his glory, because his glory will be manifest. His name will be declared. Praise will be given to him. It was made for him, and it shall render praise to him. The earth its fruit shall yield. But his return is also demanded by his justice. For this broken world, this rebellious world, this sinful world continues as though there is no God, mocking and scoffing, denying, defying. But his justice demands that noise be stopped, that mocking not scoffing, be silenced, and that he be revealed. His love demands it. For he will not leave us in this wilderness forever. He will not leave those who he has loved from all eternity. They're dust in the ground. But rather, he will come again. He will return, and he will return because it is an aspect of the redemption. For the dead in Christ shall rise. The dust from the ground, taken up again to be reunited with the soul, to be forever with the Lord. His return is demanded by his glory. It's demanded by his justice. It's demanded by his love. It's demanded by his promise. For he has said it is so. And therefore, it will happen. It must be. Children, Jesus Christ will return. And you must be ready for that day. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who's the Son of Man? The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think it won't happen, that's the very time when it shall happen. It will be so sudden and so unexpected. It's easy, isn't it, to get worn down, to become overwhelmed, discouraged, distracted, to forget this glorious reality, not to live with any sense of anticipation. We don't know when, as emphasized in verse 36, of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But we know that it is certain. And whether it be that he come to us or that we go to him, we know that that day hastens. And today matters. But you must live today in the context of tomorrow, of that great final tomorrow, of the day of the Lord. I was remembering watching one of these long distance races where the runners must do circuit after circuit of the stadium. And then eventually, after so many laps of the stadium, a bell rings. And what does the ringing of that bell symbolize? It begins ringing as the first runner passes the line to show they're on the final lap, and it continues ringing as each runner goes past, and the ringing of that bell says the end is nigh. And it encourages and it warns to pick up the pace and to press on, not to hold anything in reserve. But this is the time to push forward because the finishing line is there. And that's the way that you and I are to live our lives. The finishing line is just there. Jesus Christ will return. The present state of affairs is temporary. In Hebrews 12 and 12, the apostle writes, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Don't get weary. Don't get distracted. Don't become cast down, but press on. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The first point is simply Jesus will return. But the second is this, that Jesus will reveal. It's not that simply that he will return, but when he returns, he will reveal. He'll reveal himself, but he will reveal more than himself. Do you know what else he will reveal? He will reveal you as you really are. He'll reveal all of you as you really are. It says in the scriptures, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? There's a deceitfulness to our own hearts which extends to such an extent that sometimes we don't even know the trickery of our own heart. And yet on that day, Jesus will reveal who and what you are. Everything off about you. Not just what is seen, but what is unseen. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then show every man of praise of God, or not. Then show every man of praise of God, or not. For it depends, of course, upon what is revealed. It depends upon what are the counsels of the heart. Whether the heart is set toward him or against him. Whether there's a serving him or whether there's been a resisting him, a refusing him. Maybe you're overwhelmed today because you feel your own inability to do what you would do. An inability to live consistently before him. You know that he is worthy. But you also know that you fall so far short of him. But friends, the Lord knows the secret counsel of the heart. He knows what you would do. He knows what you desire to do. He knows if you love him. Jesus will reveal. And though you may not perform as you would, but though you be motivated by love of him, he understands that. He knows that love that you have for him. You know, love desires to be correct, to do the right thing. But correctness does not compensate for a lack of love, does it? Not the outward formality, the cold performance, but is the motivation of the heart. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus will reveal. Publicly reveal. It will be revealed before all creation, not only before your own eyes, not only before his own eyes, but before the whole created order. Whether you were seeking him, whether you were serving him, or whether you were serving self. It says in Revelation 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works. There is a permanent record kept. Nothing is ignored, and nothing is forgotten. And on that day, the Lord will reveal it. So there were three simple points. The first is that Jesus will return. The second is that Jesus will reveal. And the third is that Jesus will reward. He will reward in faithfulness. He will reward in righteousness. He will reward according to justice. Now, sometimes in society, it's galling, isn't it? You see those who are not worthy receive accolades. And you see those who are worthy, and they're trampled upon and despised. You sometimes maybe look at the Queen's honours list and you wonder, how can it be that these are the people who are promoted to the highest positions of honour in our society? But it will not be that way on that day. For the Lord will reward according to righteousness. And we can also say this, that the Lord will reward according to what the individual has truly desired. But if you truly seek Him, if you truly love Him, you will be rewarded accordingly. You will be given Him. And if you have despised Him, and if you have not sought His grace, and if you have not loved Him and do not want to be before His face, you will be cast from His grace. Jesus will return, Jesus will reveal, and Jesus will reward. And there are no exemptions. No one will be overlooked. Every one of us, you and me, everyone that ever was, everyone who ever will be, is included in this great number. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Watch therefore. This is the words of warning, isn't it? Our Lord is speaking very plainly here. Now I know there's things that are hard to be understood. But don't get lost in the detail and miss that which is plain and simple. Watch therefore. Be ready. Beware. Prepare now, so when that day comes, you will not be ashamed. Because if you don't prepare, you will be ashamed. Because preparation means repentance and seeking grace, calling upon God for mercy. And that's how you are to watch. That's how you are to prepare. That's how you are to live. Jesus will return. There will be a day when there is no tomorrow, not in this world. And don't put off your preparation because you do not know when that is. And as I've said, whether it's that He come or that you go to Him, because your life either comes to a conclusion or your life is cut short, however you want to see that, that is certain. That we cannot boast in tomorrow, but in His mercy has given you today. And today He says, watch therefore. Make ready. Live with zeal. Live for His glory. Don't put this off. Don't wait till you're older. Don't say, well, once I've done, and whatever it is you're thinking of doing. Jesus will return. And if you are not ready for his return, that is the greatest shame and the greatest sorrow. And all the accolades of this life will not compensate for that. What will it benefit a man supposing he gained the whole world and lose his soul? And so here our Lord in his mercy, as the disciples come with all these questions, he emphasizes what matters most. So the question is, are you ready? Are you living with the knowledge of the return of the Lord clearly in your thinking? Do you order your days accordingly? Do you prioritize your time? You should do. Is that not what he's calling you today to do again? You see his mercy and his grace, his patience, how he brings his word again and again. Sometimes it's though he's shouting, isn't it? Crying after us. Crying after us perhaps because we're not listening. Perhaps because we're wandering afar off. Watch therefore. Repent. Return. Prepare. And live for his glory. Amen. Let's pray.